Chapter 6, Sustainment Operations in a Maritime Environment. This chapter describes sustainment operations in a maritime environment. It begins with a discussion on the characteristics of the maritime environment and the challenges they pose. It also discusses planning considerations for sustainment in a maritime environment. Section 1, Maritime Environment Overview. The maritime domain is the oceans, seas, seabed, bays, estuaries, islands, coastal areas, rivers, and littorals, and the airspace above and the water below, JP3-32. Sustainment operations within the maritime environment will pose significant challenges and require significant synchronization and coordination. Successful movement and maneuver between the oceans, seas, bays, estuaries, islands, and coastal areas will require support of joint, allied, and multinational partners. The oceans of the world are connected by various waterways, straits, and sea lines of communication. These can become avenues of approach or choke points and enable or hinder sustainment operations and movement and maneuver. Leaders must understand this challenge and work with joint, allied, and multinational partners to overcome this possibility. Control of these waterways, straits, and certain critical landmasses will be essential to the sustainment of operations in the maritime environment. Characteristics of the maritime environment. The maritime environment contains various landmasses, with some being as large as the British Isles in the North Atlantic, and others being as small as the Marshall Islands in the South Pacific. Islands within the maritime environment can have varying environmental conditions that range from jungle to Arctic conditions. Mountains can be found in all environmental conditions. Leaders and forces must understand and be prepared for the various environmental conditions and the challenges each present. Leaders must also understand and prepare for the increased distance between maneuver forces and sustainment forces when operating in a maritime environment. The varying environmental conditions and distances through which forces must be sustained may require increased reliance on joint, allied, and multinational partners for support. In the maritime environment, occupying any landmass or island may provide a position of relative advantage by either force. Leaders must account for extended distances when providing materiel and services to allied and friendly forces. The increased operational distances in a maritime environment may reduce or slow support operations and provide opportunities for counteraction by adversaries. Sustainment planners must be closely linked to operational planning and anticipate support requirements to ensure commanders maintain freedom of action when operating in a maritime environment. Littoral regions. The littoral region comprises two segments of the OE, seaward and landward. The seaward segment is the area from the open ocean to the shore, which must be controlled to support operations ashore. The landward segment is the area inland from the shore that can be supported and defended directly from the sea, JP3-32. FM30 provides additional detail on the five categories of littorals listed as follows. Enclosed and semi-enclosed seas. Islands. Archipelagos. Open seas. Marginal seas. Army landing craft are specifically designed to dramatically increase the ability to access austere points in the littorals that are currently unavailable to land forces. They can deliver cargo from advanced bases and deep-draft strategic sealift ships to harbors, inland waterways, remote or unimproved beaches and coastlines, and denied or degraded ports, ATP 4-15. The shallow draft, adaptable cargo space, and ramp of these vessels support delivery and follow-on support of land forces at a wide variety of points and locations. Army landing craft can accomplish this without the need for improved port facilities and the added footprint of terminal service operators. These vessels include the following. Logistics Support Vessel. Landing Craft, Utility 2000. Landing Craft, Mechanized 8. Maneuver Support Vessel, Light. Mines are one of the greatest threats Army watercraft may encounter while operating in the littorals. There are many varieties of shallow water, magnetic influence, and bottom mines that pose risks for watercraft. Leaders must account for these and other threats and plan measures to mitigate these risks. ATP 4-15 provides additional information on threats faced by watercraft. Potential sources for security in the littorals and mine clearance services include the United States Coast Guard, United States Army divers, the United States Navy, and the host nation. Additional threats that landing craft may face include small watercraft armed with weapons, vessel ramming, aircraft, unmanned aerial systems and loitering munitions, standoff attacks, snipers, missiles, torpedoes. Arctic region. The maritime environment includes littoral regions within the Arctic. Title 15 United States Code Section 4111 defines the Arctic as all United States and foreign territory north of the Arctic Circle and all United States territory north and west of the boundary formed by the Porcupine, Yukon, and Kuskokwim Rivers. All contiguous seas, including the Arctic Ocean and the Beaufort, Bering, and Chukchi Seas, and the Aleutian Islands chain. The vastness of the Arctic can be described as including 8 countries, 3 combatant commands, and 2 primary transit routes, the Northwest Passage and the Northern Sea Route. Harsh environmental conditions in the land, sea, and air domains present challenges for the conduct of sustainment operations. Some of the environmental conditions include, but are not limited to, extreme cold temperatures, seasonal changes in terrain, unpredictable and rapidly changing weather. The extreme cold temperatures in the Arctic can slow the pace of sustainment operations and impact personnel by causing cold weather injuries. Sustainment leaders must understand the requirements and conduct extensive planning to protect personnel and materiel from the effects of cold weather. Buildings, shelters, and tents used for maintenance and storage operations will have increased heating requirements. Sustainment operations in the extreme cold of the Arctic require special POL products, traction enhancement devices, for example, chains and snow tires, and crew heaters. Embarked vehicles and equipment must be prepared for Arctic operations prior to arrival, and considerations must be given to keeping engines warm and out of the weather, started at regular intervals, or the additional fuel additives or recirculation cycles that may be needed to prevent congealing of fuel. Vessels may also require special preparation for Arctic operations, and planners must consider the maritime ice capabilities and restrictions of vessels and crew. Seasonal changes provide another challenge to sustainment operations in the Arctic. Mobility is at its highest during the winter months when the ground locks are frozen solid. During the spring thaw, many of the roads become nearly impassable due to melting snow and ice and thawing permafrost. These challenges with roads continue in the summer months as well. Regardless of season, sustainment leaders must be aware of the mobility challenges in the Arctic. Sustainment operations in the Arctic can be severely impacted when ports of debarkation become unusable or unavailable due to changing conditions. Changes in sea ice can either reduce availability of ports or open additional passageways for transit through the Arctic. The ability of Army watercraft to execute logistics over the shore operations provides sustainment planners with options to overcome loss of port facilities in the Arctic. Army watercraft also provide the ability to support the maneuver of forces and movement of materiel along open waterways, rivers, and estuaries in the Arctic. This capability is only increased when Army watercraft are combined with watercraft capabilities from joint, allied, and multinational partners. Planning considerations for the maritime environment. Sustainment operations in a maritime environment come with additional planning considerations not always present in other environments or domains. These considerations include planning for deployment of Army watercraft and actions to counter enemy threats. Considerations for employing Army watercraft. Employing Army watercraft will be dependent on joint, allied, and multinational partners for success. Army forces must be able to maintain control of land and air domains in order to successfully operate in the maritime environment. Control of the air and land domains is key to generating, applying, and sustaining combat power. Army watercraft and other sustainment forces must have a COP that can be shared between allies and partners in order to maintain situational understanding and enable decision-making. Sustainment planners must be prepared to execute primary, alternate, contingency, and emergency communications plans to maintain situational awareness between allies and partners during crisis and conflict. Sustainment leaders must consult maritime subject matter experts to understand navigation requirements for inland waterways and understand tidal information and its effect on employment of watercraft. The maritime OE and vessel support requirements are complex and require expertise for planning and execution of sustainment in and across the maritime domain. Such expertise can be found in SDDC and the TBX. TSC and ESC SPOs may also have Army Maritime subject matter experts assigned. Sustainment leaders must also consider impacts of population density on watercraft employment. In a maritime environment, civilian populations using inland waterways and littoral regions for commerce, trade, and transit may slow the pace and speed at which watercraft may operate. Poor soil composition, steep coastal terrain, and densely populated areas along inland waterways and in the littorals have the potential to change or limit where vessels can discharge or where logistics over the shore operations can occur. Army watercraft capabilities are essential for sustainment operations in a maritime environment. Seaport opening operations facilitate the arrival and throughput of equipment and units and are conducted in coordination with strategic and theater resources. U.S. Transcom and Military Sealift Command support the flow of personnel and materiel into a theater. SDDC supports all aspects of strategic seaport management in a permissive maritime environment and provides asset visibility information per the combatant commander's priorities. The TBX provides the combatant commander with capabilities to conduct austere seaport operations in a non-permissive maritime environment. The Joint Task Force port opening is a U.S. Transcom capability that is available to combatant commanders to execute limited capability rapid port opening activities during contingency operations. The TBX is a ForceCom organization that may be attached to a TSC and work in coordination with SDDC to support port management for an operation at the strategic port. In addition, the Army has an on-call mission to support Joint Task Force port opening as required. For additional information, see JP3-02, JP3-32, JP3-36, JP40, JP4-18, FM30, ATP4-15, and ATP4-13. Leaders and planners must plan for the execution of all sustainment elements, logistics, financial management, personnel services, and HSS, and all subfunctions during operations in a maritime environment. The logistics element of sustainment involves planning and executing the movement and support of forces. The financial management element of sustainment leverages fiscal policy and economic power to sustain military operations. The personnel services element mans the force and maintains soldier and family readiness. The HSS element of sustainment ensures the behavioral and physical well-being of forces during operations. Planning considerations for Army watercraft. Planning considerations for the use of Army watercraft must encompass all warfighting functions to ensure the plan is integrated. The following discussion describes considerations that must be taken into account while planning watercraft operations in a maritime environment. Sustainment planning considerations. The following are sustainment planning considerations for operations in a maritime environment. The following examples are not all-inclusive, and considerations will vary based on operational requirements. Plan for delivery of all elements of the sustainment warfighting function. Logistics, financial management, personnel services, and HSS required to build and sustain combat power. Preposition supply classes 1, 3, bulk/packaged, 4, 5, 8, 9, and water as far forward as the tactical situation permits. Consider maximizing the use of combat configured loads to deliver combat power. Anticipate time needed to execute logistics as distances increase. Ensure watercraft maintenance capability is adequate to sustain and repair watercraft forward in theater to meet readiness requirements and the maneuver commander's intent. Plan for continuous replacement operations, specifically the transportation and integration of replacement personnel into units in the tactical close area. Submit personnel replacement priority requests based on forecasted casualty estimates to enable forward positioning of personnel replacements. Plan for primary, alternate, contingency, and emergency communications plans to ensure effective personnel asset visibility and delivery of logstat reports. Forecast expected number of casualties and prepare appropriate medical treatment, surgical, and evacuation capabilities. Planners must also assess the best positioning of medical units to ensure support to operations. Utilize sea basing to facilitate support operations over strategic distances. Command and control planning considerations. Planning considerations for command and control are listed as follows. Expect enemy attacks in the space and cyberspace domains to include the electromagnetic spectrum that will degrade communications and digital information transmission. Attacks in these domains affect sustainment operations in terms of satellite communications, positioning, navigation, timing, information collection, internet operations, computer systems, and voice communications. Develop and execute primary, alternate, contingency, and emergency communications and navigation plans to ensure redundancy. Understand how the maritime environment impacts communications and may limit transmission of information. Operations in maritime environments may occur over vast distances. Actions by the enemy, degraded communications, and loss of satellites may disrupt command and control of dispersed forces. Assess task organization to ensure watercraft capabilities are positioned properly to support the mission. Leaders must understand watercraft capabilities to match them against requirements. Movement and maneuver planning considerations. Planning considerations for movement and maneuver are listed as follows. Expect watercraft to operate over extended distances and understand the impacts of turnaround times on operations. Understand how enemy action, enemy fire, and obstacles will impact movement of watercraft. Prioritize use of watercraft needed to support movement and maneuver requirements against watercraft needed to support sustainment requirements. Plan to support the movement of forces and cargo along inland waterways. Intelligence planning considerations. Some planning considerations for intelligence are listed as follows. Understand intelligence preparation of the OE products, detailed intelligence estimates, and other intelligence products that describe enemy capabilities and courses of action within a maritime environment. Ensure intelligence estimates are used in planning operations in a maritime environment. Fires planning considerations. Some planning considerations for fires are listed as follows. Anticipate supporting the required relocation of fires units between land masses to support operational requirements. Ensure that watercraft transporting ammunition are properly positioned to support fires operations. Anticipate increased requirements to move munitions for maneuver units. Ensure that watercraft transporting ammunition have the correct documentation and approval for partner nation port entry. Protection planning considerations. Some planning considerations for protection are listed as follows. Expect attack using artillery, aircraft, mines, and ground forces. Commanders must ensure defense forces are adequate to survive effects. Plan for convoy security along the sea locks. This must include attacks from the air as well as the water. Plan for dispersion as much as possible to accommodate operations. Maximize the use of available space on Army watercraft for detainee movement. United States Army EOD is not trained or equipped for explosive ordnance in maritime or littoral environments. Plan for render safe capability, such as United States Navy EOD, to be low density and in high demand. Sustainment actions to counter enemy threats. Leaders must understand enemy courses of action and how they can be used to disrupt sustainment in a maritime environment. Potential employment of capabilities across all domains will challenge sustainment forces from home station to forward locations. Enemy forces may use submarine or mine warfare to interdict or disrupt watercraft operations. Leaders must be prepared to coordinate with joint, allied, and multinational partners for assistance with securing sea locks. Types of capabilities that joint, allied, and multinational partners can provide include minesweeping, sensor technology, and aerial reconnaissance. Leaders must understand that gains in the development of precision sustainment and predictive logistics technologies can increase decision dominance and responses to potential enemy threats. The ability to deploy autonomous watercraft for resupply can impose dilemmas on enemy targeting and cause diversions from intended actions. Predictive logistics will also drive development of advanced power solutions that enable employment of autonomous vehicles in support of maritime operations. Leaders must also understand the use of anti-access and area denial techniques in the maritime environment to disrupt sustainment operations. These techniques can range from use of missile defense and artillery systems to deny access to key terrain or waterways to using enemy special operations and naval forces. Use of SOF to destabilize or disenfranchise regional partners can impact employment of Army watercraft and sustainment forces in a maritime environment. Additional details for enemy anti-access and area denial techniques can be found in FM30. Leaders must consider deception as a way to impose multiple dilemmas on the enemy. Deception contributes to creating multiple dilemmas, achieving operational surprise, and maintaining the initiative. Deception efforts by tactical formations seek to delay enemy decision-making until it is too late to matter, or to cause an enemy commander to make the wrong decision. Deception requires an understanding of how to surprise enemy forces, time to plan, prepare, execute, and assess a deception operation, and the ability to properly resource the deception effort. The use of autonomous aerial delivery systems and future development of autonomous watercraft can be used as part of deception in the maritime environment. Leaders can employ autonomous vehicles in locations other than where operations are intended to cause the enemy to react in an unplanned manner. See JP3-13.4 and FM3-13.4 for information on deception. See FM3O for more information on imposing dilemmas. The operational framework in a maritime environment. While the operational framework also applies to the maritime environment, the varying distances of maritime surface areas and sizes of land masses challenge what constitutes deep, close, and rear operations. Sustainment of operations in a maritime environment will be non-contiguous, with sustainment and operational forces physically separated by bodies of water. Sustainment forces must be prepared to simultaneously support offensive and defensive operations in the maritime environment. Army watercraft may be required to support amphibious landings and RSOI operations while defending against surface and subsurface threats. Coordination with joint, allied, and multinational partners will be essential in sustaining operations across the operational framework in a maritime environment. The Unified Command Plan designates the AOR. Within that AOR, a larger maritime OE might have several JOAs to facilitate command and control and resource prioritization. A JOA is established for operations within an AOR that are specialized or limited in scope or duration. The JFC will designate joint security areas and direct military operations as a JTF. In a maritime environment, the joint security area can be separated by water over a large distance and may not be in areas that are actively engaged in combat. A Theater Army Headquarters, or TSC, may be required to conduct theater sustainment operations from a single designated joint security area or from multiple locations, depending on mission requirements. Assigning an area of operations. An area of operations is an operational area defined by a commander for the land or maritime force commander to accomplish their missions and protect their forces, JP3O. Sustainment forces must be prepared to support multiple AOs within a maritime environment. Large islands may allow a contiguous AO with forces operating adjacent to one another. Smaller islands may require a non-contiguous AO with forces operating in a dispersed nature. Sustaining deep operations. Sustaining deep operations in a maritime environment will require sustainment forces to be prepared to support information collection, SOF, and fires. Sustainment leaders must be prepared for the employment of enemy anti-access and area denial capabilities, such as aerial assets, mines, submarines, and the use of fires to limit or restrict movement of sustainment forces. Sustainment planners should plan for increased ammunition requirements for long-range fires to negate enemy actions and the use of joint and other assets to maintain freedom of movement and access to sea locks. Sustaining close operations. Sustaining close operations will require sustainment planners to support corps and division units executing offensive operations. The use of joint, allied, and multinational assets will be key in sustaining close operations that may be conducted in multiple locations within a maritime environment. Close operations may have some forward forces operating isolated and disconnected from support. Sustainment planners must consider this condition and develop methods to sustain these units. Methods could include increasing combat loads, using aerial delivery, and staging supplies using ISBs. Sustaining rear operations. Sustaining rear operations will require sustainment planners to be prepared to set and sustain theater operations. Rear operations in a maritime environment will present unique sustainment challenges and circumstances to Army forces. Sustainment leaders must understand that time and distance will impact the ability to sustain forces separated by distance and water. RSOI could occur thousands of miles away from where a unit would be employed in combat. The use of ISBs may shorten distances between rear operations and forward-located forces. The use of aerial delivery may prove essential in providing critical supplies. Sustainment planners should also consider coordination with joint, allied, and multinational partners for use of watercraft and aerial assets to support operations in a maritime environment. Protection of sustainment forces operating in the maritime environment will be a critical consideration for planners. Sustainment operations in the rear will face challenges from both waterborne and airborne threats. Potential means of interdicting or disrupting rear operations include the use of mines and submarine warfare to disrupt sea locks and the use of air assets and missiles to attack from a distance. Sustainment leaders must consider methods for securing sea and aerial locks from the rear area. These methods may include incorporation of naval assets to protect sea locks and air and missile defense systems to protect against aerial threats. Support area operations. Support area operations are a critical part of rear operations. A support area is where units position, employ, and protect base sustainment assets and locks required to sustain, enable, and control operations. Support area operations include sustainment for the echelon and relevant security operations. Support area operations enable the tempo of deep and close operations. They require detailed planning to coordinate among the various units providing sustainment, protection, and security. In a maritime environment, the support area may be on an island where operations are occurring, or it may be separated by water and located on a different island. Support area operations in a maritime environment require detailed planning. Commanders must balance requirements to protect rear and support area operations with the tempo and needs of units in close and deep area operations. See FM30 for additional considerations when conducting support area operations. These critical areas may be vulnerable to enemy attack, and they require increased protection from potential enemy fires, submarines, and air threats. Some planning considerations for establishing support areas in a maritime environment include, but are not limited to, enemy maneuver and fires units that threaten current and future support area operations. Additional forces required to protect the support area. Command and control nodes that will occupy the support area. Command and support relationships between units in the support area. Transportation networks, road, rail, inland waterways, and air into and out of the area. Protection from enemy indirect fire assets. Survivability. Dispersion, terrain management, and defensive responsibilities. Section 2, Sustainment Considerations for the Maritime Environment. Operations in a maritime environment will more than likely be joint in nature and involve naval and air components. Such operations provide unique considerations for sustainment units. Sustainment forces must be prepared to operate in a dispersed nature on individual islands. Sustainment leaders must be prepared for the challenges of command and control, supporting joint offensive operations, and sustaining large-scale combat operations. Maritime Command and Control. The Theater Army will continue to be the senior Army headquarters in the Combatant Command. Its operational responsibilities include command of forces, direction of operations, and control of assigned operational areas. In a maritime environment, the Theater Army will serve as the Joint Force Land Component Commander for joint operations and provide the JFC with recommendations on allocation and employment of Army forces in the AOR. Given the size of an AOR for most maritime environments and the distance between land areas, there may be multiple active JOAs, each with separate headquarters. The Theater Army will continue to provide mobility to maneuver forces and conduct sustainment operations in the maritime environment through its assigned JTF headquarters or TSC. The headquarters supporting operations must be prepared for the challenges of lengthened locks and the dispersed nature of sustainment operations in the maritime environment. Sustainment leaders must be prepared to command and control sustainment units that may be supporting either offensive, defensive, or stability operations. Sustainment leaders must be prepared for the communication and information challenges of operating in a maritime environment. Lengthened locks and activities of adversaries may impact communications and the ability to command and control sustainment forces. Leaders must understand these challenges and come up with unique solutions to overcome them. Support of joint offensive operations. Sustainment forces, particularly Army watercraft, must be prepared to support the JFC in execution of certain forcible entry operations. In a maritime environment, sustainment forces will more than likely be expected to support amphibious operations. For additional information, see FM30. Forcible entry operations. Forcible entry operations in any OE follow the same phasing model. Those phases are preparation and deployment, assault, stabilization of the lodgment, introduction of follow-on forces, and termination or transition operations. Army sustainment forces should be prepared to support any phase of the operation. Preparation and deployment phase. Sustainment forces must be prepared to support movement planning. Movement support during this phase may include conducting site surveys by watercraft or aircraft and movement from marshalling areas to ISBs and ports of debarkation. Assault phase. Naval, air, and special operations forces will comprise the initial entry forces responsible for seizing airfields and ports. Army sustainment forces must be prepared to support the movement of reinforcing entry forces to support initial entry forces. Stabilization of the lodgment phase. During this phase, sustainment forces must be prepared to support increasing logistics requirements as the lodgment becomes stabilized and follow-on forces continue to arrive. Army watercraft will be essential in supporting this phase in the maritime environment. Introduction of follow-on forces. Once the lodgment has been established, follow-on forces will continue to flow into the area. Army sustainment forces should be prepared to support not only the follow-on forces moving into the lodgment, but also forces already on ground and future operations. JP3-18 provides additional information on forcible entry operations and requirements for the joint force in each phase. Amphibious operations. Amphibious operations are military operations launched from the sea by an amphibious force to conduct landing force operations within the littorals, JP3-02. Amphibious operations are joint in nature and comprised of an amphibious task force and landing force. The amphibious task force is comprised of naval, military sealift command, and maritime administration assets. The landing force is comprised of Army and Marine Corps assets. Amphibious operations can be conducted during any part of a joint operation or campaign. Planning for an amphibious operation is continuous, and it requires collaborative, parallel, and detailed planning by all participating forces. The organization of any amphibious operation should be sufficiently flexible to meet the planned objectives in each phase of the operation and account for unforeseen developments. Army sustainment forces should be prepared to support any phase of an amphibious operation. This support can be in the form of logistics over the shore operations, port operations, movement control, and medical support to forces that are part of the amphibious operation. Army sustainment also plans and prepares to support during operations by providing intra-theater ship-to-shore transport, to include coordinating for fire support from joint forces during resupply and rearming amphibious and landing forces while contested. Sustaining large-scale combat operations in a maritime environment. Movement via water remains the principal method for moving military personnel, equipment, and materiel in support of operations. In a maritime environment, maneuver via water will also be required to support and sustain operations. Sustaining large-scale combat operations in a maritime environment will present unique challenges to sustainment forces. The availability of shipping assets and the capability to transfer or move materiel and personnel between land masses or from ship to shore will be critical in the maritime environment. Army watercraft assets are suited for movement of materiel between ports, from a port into an austere port or bare beach, or from ship to shore through logistics over the shore operations. Sustainment planners must also be prepared for the potential requirement to move personnel from ship to shore via watercraft in support of operations and support multiple logistics over the shore operations over greater distances in a maritime environment. This may include the backhaul of detainees from forward areas. This backhaul of detainees to division and corps rear areas is vital for intelligence gathering and for their safety. See FM3-63 for more information on maritime detainee transport. Military Sealift Command and merchant marine vessels, which transport cargo and materiel, require secure facilities that allow for discharge of materiel and cargo. In addition to infrastructure requirements, the security and vulnerabilities of ports of debarkation must be considered and continually assessed in order to support operations in a maritime environment. Sustainment of large-scale combat operations in a maritime environment will require innovative ways and means of conducting sustainment operations. Sustainment leaders cannot assume secured port facilities or modern infrastructure will be available. The following paragraphs will describe how sustainment planners should be prepared to conduct RSOI and theater sustainment. Reception, staging, onward movement, and integration. The theater army will be responsible for controlling theater opening and RSOI in a maritime environment. The theater army executes RSOI through the TSC and its subordinate sustainment organizations. Sustainment planners executing RSOI in a maritime environment must be prepared for the unique challenges of a non-permissive OE. Secured infrastructure, staging areas, and tactical assembly areas may not be available or accessible. Sustainment planners must be prepared to consider other courses of action to conduct RSOI, enabling the joint force to deploy and then rapidly posture for employment. These courses of action include, but are not limited to, conducting reception and staging activities prior to entry into the theater or JOA, using ISBs to facilitate combat configuration of forces en route to the pod, using agile or offshore basing options to facilitate RSOI, conducting onward movement of forces directly from home station after integration, for example, conducting expeditionary deployment, such as the Global Response Force. Theater sustainment operations. In a maritime environment, the combatant commander exercises DAFL over assigned forces and can assign lead service responsibilities. When this responsibility is assigned to the Army, the TSC and/or ESC is capable of leading the synchronization and integration of common support capabilities for the joint force. To do this, the TSC may establish boards, bureaus, centers, cells, and working groups to assist with synchronization and integration of capabilities. These boards, bureaus, centers, cells, and working groups will be essential in managing the dispersed sustainment operations conducted in the maritime environment. These operations include executing JLOTS operations, conducting inter-theater and intra-theater transportation, conducting maintenance operations, conducting general engineering operations, providing HSS, joint logistics over the shore. JLOTS operations will be the key to sustaining operations in a maritime environment. Sustainment leaders and planners in the boards, bureaus, centers, cells, and working groups at the TSC must be prepared to monitor JLOTS operations that may be occurring on multiple islands. Planners should always consider potential peer threat methods and the capacity of the JLOTS operation. JLOTS may be challenged by the peer threat methods of systems warfare and preclusion. Peer threats may employ systems warfare to destroy key port infrastructure capabilities and access points needed for successful JLOTS operations. Preclusion methods, such as anti-access and area denial, may be employed to limit projection of forces into an area and reduce freedom of action. Bulk petroleum may need to be received via JLOTS operations. Such operations use an offshore petroleum discharge system or other bulk liquids transfer system to deliver fuel to tactical storage facilities located immediately ashore. The offshore system delivers fuel to a tactical or commercial terminal, normally operated by a petroleum pipeline and terminal operating company. Fuel may then be moved forward through the use of trucks, rail, or installed pipeline systems that can quickly establish inland product distribution. If the theater is not an active theater of war, it should have an established operating stock level and pre-positioned war reserve stock. For additional information, see JP4-03. Interoperability of fuel transfer systems should be considered and resolved in the planning process for at least the following interfaces: tanker or oiler to Navy receiving ship, United States Coast Guard receiving ship, seaport load and offload facilities, and JLOT systems. Airbase fuel storage and dispensing systems to receive fuel from commercial or military sources and issue fuel to service component and multinational aircraft. Shore distribution systems to tactical fuel systems and equipment such as the Inland Petroleum Distribution System and the Early Entry Fluid Distribution System, Amphibious Assault Fuel System, and fuel tanker vehicles. No system or set of systems should be planned to be utilized together without proper interoperability validation through the appropriate spill contingency plan. Planners should also be prepared for the challenges of bringing APS ashore in a maritime environment. APS downloads will require deep draft facilities. These facilities may not be present at desired locations within the maritime environment. When access to secure port facilities is unavailable, sustainment planners should consider plans to use offshore anchorages, unimproved port facilities, and bare beaches and shallow draft lighterage to download and convey APS in maritime environments. Planners should consider the employment and sequencing of engineer units to prepare beaches, inland roadways, and ISBs. Inter-theater and intra-theater transportation. The maritime environment will present challenges in managing inter-theater and intra-theater assets, requiring the simultaneous management of air, land, and maritime transportation assets. Maritime transportation capabilities enable the ability to sustain port and inland waterway operations during RSOI, sustainment, and contingency operations. The TMCE is assigned to a TSC DMC, normally augmenting the Transportation Operations Branch. The TMCE provides movement management, container management, highway regulation, and coordination for personnel and materiel movements into, within, and out of the theater for the Theater Army or Joint Force Commander. For additional information on the TMCE, see ATP 4-16. Effective management and employment of inter-theater and intra-theater transportation assets in a maritime environment will be critical, and both branches within the TMCE will play a vital role. The Inter-Theater Operations Branch plans, coordinates, implements, and monitors inter-theater movement programs while serving as a liaison between strategic transportation partners and the TSC and ESC. The Inter-Theater Operations Branch also provides representation on inter-theater transportation coordination boards and meetings, conducts transportation planning, and coordinates exceptional movement requirements. The Intra-Theater Operations Branch plans, implements, and monitors intra-theater movement programs and commits transportation surface, ground, and air assets in support of RSOI operations and contingency operations. The Intra-Theater Operations Branch also conducts transportation planning, supports contingency operations, and conducts exceptional movement requirements. To manage daily transportation requirements in maritime environments, movement and distribution boards will be essential. These boards should cover major internal and external movement requirements to plan and coordinate for maritime transportation capabilities, to support deployment, onward movement, inland waterway operations, redeployment, and distribution operations. Distribution boards receive input from movement boards, which then update theater movement controllers on distribution priorities, major unit moves, changes to main and alternate supply routes, and area security status to include security challenges associated with water transport movements. Ultimately, both boards play a critical role in ensuring the safety and timely distribution of personnel and supplies within the maritime operating environment. Maintenance operations. Sustainment leaders must be prepared for supporting maintenance operations in a maritime environment. Most of the maintenance conducted in the maritime environment may be field-level maintenance conducted on dispersed islands. Successful maintenance operations will depend on the ability to anticipate maintenance requirements, track and analyze maintenance reports, properly identify and diagnose maintenance faults, apply the appropriate maintenance capability, and manage Class 9. Maintenance managers must accurately report Class 9 requirements, and distribution managers must be prepared to support providing Class 9 using available assets to overcome separation by distance and water. General engineering. General engineering in a maritime environment will consist of activities that improve infrastructure and modify, protect, and maintain the physical environment. General engineering capabilities can be employed to improve port facilities, airfields, and other basing requirements needed for operations. Engineer divers can be used to conduct hydrographic surveys to support vessel operations in littorals and conduct ship husbandry requirements. Leaders must prioritize requirements for general engineer support and synchronize distribution capabilities to ensure materials are available for support. Health service support. As with other environments, planning HSS support in maritime-dominated environments should address relevant aspects that may affect support to friendly forces. MTFs positioned at existing bases within the range of adversary long-range fires should establish primary and alternate survivability positions that will provide for the defense of themselves and their patients. Role 2 personnel may be required to defend themselves and their patients against amphibious assaults and vertical envelopments by enemy forces seeking to control a particular landmass as well. Role 2 MTFs operating on islands with austere infrastructure and resources require significant sustainment during prolonged operations that may delay medical evacuation. Every opportunity to clear patients from the MTF must be taken advantage of to prevent the MTF from being inundated with patients in a prolonged care situation. Scarcity of land may make it difficult for MTFs to maintain proximity to the force they are supporting. Additionally, MTFs may not have the space available to set up as they would in another environment. Site layout and selection are critical because the Army health system principles and medical functions do not change, but they must adapt to the environment. For example, the Role 2 may still conduct medical evacuation from the Role 1 MTF with their direct support ambulance squad. However, instead of the evacuation going from the Role 1 MTF to a traditional land ambulance exchange point, the ambulance exchange point may occur on the beachfront with the ambulance offloading patients to a landing craft or aero medical evacuation platform that then moves the patients to a hospital afloat. If aeromedical evacuation is used, aviators must become DEC certified. Medical regulating and resupply of Class 8 stocks from the United States Navy requires a more joint perspective. The principles and techniques are the foundation of planning. However, the execution is adapted to the environment. For additional information, see FM4-02 and ATP4-02.6. Section 3, Army Watercraft Operations. Army watercraft support combatant commander requirements by maintaining the desired flow of forces, cargo, and sustainment into a theater in a maritime environment. Army watercraft expand the combatant commander's ability to move and maneuver through the maritime environment by enabling and sustaining operations through fixed, degraded, and austere ports and inland waterways, including the use of logistics over the shore operations. The following paragraphs describe the capabilities of Army watercraft in the maritime environment, followed by a notional example of watercraft supporting operations in the core area. See ATP 4-15 for additional information on Army watercraft and their capabilities. Notional Army watercraft operations in the core area. Army watercraft are essential for conducting sustainment operations in a maritime environment, as they are designed to perform missions specifically related to intra-theater operational maneuver of combat power and sustainment. Army watercraft are a critical link between maritime strategic lift and land-oriented tactical movements. They must integrate across all services and multinational partners in a denied, degraded, contested logistics environment with limited communications. Army watercraft operations must integrate into the joint movement and maneuver plan and cannot rely solely on other services for protection to operate safely in the contested maritime domain. Army watercraft provide the ability to move forces through sea locks and along the littorals in the division close area while creating multiple dilemmas for enemy forces, as they can conduct movement of forces in support of close operations and rear operations. The logistic support vessel, landing craft, Utility 2000, and maneuver support vessels provide the best capabilities to conduct this movement and maneuver due to their range and payload capabilities. Notional riverine operations. Riverine operations are operations conducted by forces organized to cope with the unique characteristics of a riverine area and/or to achieve or maintain control of the riverine area. Riverine operations can originate from an existing AO in a float base at sea or from the littorals. Riverine operations can be conducted jointly or individually by Army and Navy forces. See ATP 3-18.12, ATP 4-15, and JP 3-32 for additional information on riverine operations.